Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Hey, Jim, boom! That's a bad outfit. Boom!
I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me, my turn! Am I the meanest?
Sure
enough. Am I the prettiest?
Sure enough.
Am I the baddest mofo low down around this town?
Sure enough.
Well, who am I?
Sure enough.
The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey, geeksters. I'm Kylan.
I'm Ken.
And this week, yes, I am Ken. And you found Geek Watch 1. So, it's been 2 weeks. This is our fifth show.
Yeah, this is the biggest 2 weeks I think we've had since we started this show.
Yeah, there's been a lot going on in the past 2 weeks. A lot. So this show, it's going to be different from other shows. This will be our first show without a guest.
Yeah, the first time we've flying solo with just the four of us sitting here.
So we're just going to chill and geek out, and you get to, I don't know, see what it's like to just hang out.
Pretty much. It'll be just like you guys are having dinner with us somewhere. Trust me, if you go to restaurants, it's an interesting conversation.
Yeah, it is. We got a couple of people who said, you know what? Do you guys have a Facebook page just from our conversations? Remember one time where we were talking about the show, we were at Panera?
Yeah.
And that one lady said, oh, my son's a geek, and next thing you know...
Exactly. That was before we had business cards. Oh, yeah. We have business cards, if anybody doesn't know, and stickers.
Yeah, so we kind of have swag. Swag now.
And you know what, Ms. Dawn, can we send them stickers if they send us emails?
We can. Just send emails to kylanandken@gmail.com, KYLANANDKEN, and we'll send you guys a sticker or two.
Yeah. So maybe we can get some emails then.
Yeah, please. Please. Well,
today's show, we have a wide range of things we're going to cover. We're going to hit some, we have a little bit of tech news, some, book news, we got some Marvel, some DC, and you can't have us, we're going to have a lot of Star Wars.
Yeah, there's some Star Wars stuff going on, so, you know, if it's Kyle and Ken, there's some Star Wars involved.
That's right.
So,
but the biggest news story right off the top. We have a new network. We're part of the Tangent Bound Network.
Woo! That's right. That was quite a surprise because we had gone to Concoction last weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And just hanging out. And then Miss Dawn was... you had gone to look at the vendors area.
Yeah, fan tables.
The fan tables.
And then she comes running down and tells us...
We could go ahead and talk about Concoction now, too.
Well, I guess so, yeah.
It was at the Sheridan Airport Hotel up in Cleveland at the Cleveland Hopkins Airport. They had it set up in a convention center at the hotel. It was kind of interesting. There was a set of rooms in the back that was the normal convention center.
Right.
You walk in the door and you had your rooms just like any other convention anybody's been to. But when you got to the hotel lobby... They actually had a mezzanine balcony around the lobby that they had set up all the fan tables at.
Right, and that's where cosplayers were. There were a couple of steampunk airships up there. Yeah.
The Federation was there.
Right.
What was it, the International Federation of... I forget exactly what it's called now. It's the official Star Trek fan club.
Right.
The Cleveland... I know it was the Starship Challenger was the Cleveland fan club.
Right.
So they were set up there.
And so... We hadn't made it up there yet, and...
I think we were down in the gaming room.
Yeah, we were down in the basement.
Yeah, we were down in the basement in the gaming room. For those of you who have not heard of Concoction, it's a sci-fi themed convention, but there's some gaming also, and it looks like this year they're trying to expand outside of sci-fi a little bit, but it's still primarily a sci-fi convention.
Yeah, if anybody's... Obviously, if you guys have heard us talking, you've heard of Con on the Cob that we talk about that we're a part of.
Right.
Well, Concoction has only had... This is their second show, so it's a lot smaller but it's growing, but it's very similar style to Con on the Cob.
Right, right. And so it was a pretty big show for it to be the second year.
Oh, yeah.
It was, and I was impressed. And so we were in the gaming area, so Dawn comes down and tells us that there's a network, there's a podcasting network in the mezzanine area we need to go check out. So, like, okay. So we go up, and
we met Jim and Mark from the Tangent Bound Network.
Right, yeah. And they were dressed as S.H.I.E.L.D. agents. So,
oh, they had some awesome cosplay. Oh, great. They look just like S.H.I.E.L.D. soldiers.
Yes. And so we go, we talk to them, and they liked what we had to offer. We liked what they had to offer, and next thing you know...
Oh, yeah. If anybody's been following our Twitter feed, you'll see there's, on Fridays, there's the Follow Friday that everybody seems to be doing everywhere. But you'll see there's a lot of podcasts going out across our Twitter feed on that, and a lot of that is from Tangent Bound. Tangent Bound is a network of over 40-plus podcasts that they're always adding to, that if you want, anybody who wants to run a podcast, they have... free hosting. They'll set you up with the podcast. They'll set you up with all the tell you how to work the software. Any tech help you need, they'll give you email. They'll give you a website.
Yeah,
everything you need to start a podcast. Everything but the equipment.
Right.
Which is, really the equipment is not that hard. If you have a laptop computer, you can have your own podcast.
Exactly. I mean, most laptops, any laptop that was built in the last
10 years, probably.
10 years. Has a camera and a microphone, and you don't even need to use the camera.
Yeah, we don't use the camera.
No.
No one wants to see that when we're doing this.
No. Podcast. It's a podcast. Audio. And so these guys are, I mean, they are great.
For us, they're local.
Yeah, for us, they're local.
Which is kind of nice. They're in, like, North Ridgeville in the Akron area, and... I think that's one of the things that they said attracted us to them was the fact that we were local, too.
Exactly.
So it's kind of cool, but at the same time, it's cool that we're on a network with podcasts from around the world. They have not just the U.S., but, like, Australia and Great Britain and stuff like that, too.
And it just so happened that we had some of the podcasts that we had made contact with when we started the show... all happen to be on the Tangent Bound Network.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Some of the ones that we were friends with already that have been with us, like, I'm looking down their list now. If you go to the tangentboundnetwork.com, they have actually, it says network shows. And they have a huge list of everybody that's available on their network. But guys like GeekDig, that have given us... advice and things like that, and giving us likes. Viva La Nerd's on there. Who else have we given shout outs to
Dark
that are
Angels
on here?
And Pretty Freaks.
Dark Angels and Pretty Freaks that we've given shout outs to.
Right. And it's so cool because if you go to the Tangent Bound page, there's a couple of Doctor Who podcasts, there's
sci-fi,
horror.
Some straight-up comedy podcasts where they're just sitting there joking. There's a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Right. There's honestly something for everybody.
And they have links right from the page. You can go right to their podcast, so.
And actually, at this point, I think we're going to go ahead and let the Tangent Bound actually tell you who they are.
Hello, welcome to Crazy Eddie's Podcast Sales Group. Need a podcast? We've got so many, we're giving them away. That's right, folks, we're giving them away for free with zero down, zero do it signing, and you can earn 0% for life. When you come on board, Tangentbound Network will give you a podcast. Need that pesky RSS feed for compatible with iTunes and Stitcher radio problems? Not a problem. Need a place to store your podcast for the listeners to stream? No problem. Need an email address? No problem. But wait, there's more. Bad credit, no credit, no problem. The TBN is giving everything away for free. Everything must go. Contact the TBN now to get your own podcast for free. Some restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. See TangentBoundNetwork.com for details. Side effects may include nausea, upset stomach, and in some rare cases, death from excessive laughter. The podcast you're listening to is probably not held responsible for the content of this message.
That was the Tangent Bound Network guys with one of their commercials. Now, hopefully, if you guys listen to the end of our shows from here on out, we're going to probably try to play a promo for one of our podcast friends at the end of each one as soon as they send them to us. So any other podcasters listening to this, send us a safe for work, family friendly bumper or commercial, and we'll throw it at the end of our show.
Right. I mean, just treat it like if you're going to a Marvel movie and you know that you never, never leave after the movie, the main movie ends in a Marvel Cinematic Universe movie.
Yeah, you stay until the lights come up.
So stay until after you hear Dr. Banzai give his little bit for all of us to meditate upon. So after you hear that,
you'll get to hear from a couple of our podcasting friends, probably. Okay, next up we got... Well, we've already given some shout-outs to podcasts. Some guys that are not on the network, though, that I wanted to personally give a shout-out to is Rebel Force Radio. If you guys are like us and enjoy Star Wars, and most people who find us like Star Wars, that's just the way it works.
Yeah.
Rebel Force Radio is your number one source for Star Wars news and reviews and commentary on the internet. If it's happening in Star Wars, they are covering it. They come out every Friday.
Right.
You can find them at rebelforceradio.com. And most people have probably already heard of them. It's a 2-hour news and commentary show, and they have everybody on that show. Dave Filoni from The Clone Wars and from the Rebels calls them and does interviews with them. They have interviews with all kinds of cast and crew. Anything news-wise, they cover it. So, and they've been at it for so long that they actually have relationships with these people. You're going to get their perspective on the way on Star Wars news that a lot of people aren't going to have. But they're also down to earth just like us. They're fans that are doing a fan podcast. They just happen to have been doing it long enough to be able to get on the inside also. So you're not getting just what the publicity guys say to do. The other one I had was the Geek Out Podcast Network. It's the Goaliverse is what he calls it. Steve Glosson does Geek Out Loud is his first show. So his Goaliverse covers everything. Geek Out Loud is a show similar to ours, but it's Steve talking with his friends or covering things. He has Rock Out Loud, which is your rock and roll show. Mark Out Loud is a wrestling show. Disney Vault Talk, he and Teresa Delgado actually are going through every Disney animated movie from the first movie on, and each show is a different movie. They've made it up. The Jungle Book is the latest one they did, so they're 15, 16, 17 episodes in right now.
They've got a ways to go.
Oh, yeah. But they're getting into... Soon they'll be getting into, like, the 70s movies and things, so...
It's been good so far. I've listened to a few of them, and it's definitely, if you're a Disney freak, that's the show to listen to, because they go pretty in-depth on the movies.
For me, Steve Glosson is who got me into even thinking about doing a podcast. The first show I remember catching was the Starkville's House of L, which was Steve and Derek Russell doing a show about Smallville.
Right.
So it was between him and the guys at Rebel Force Radio who had a show before that was from something else. Yeah. But it was another Star Wars show, but it was on a different network and things. So they've started their own. Now it's Rebel Force Radio. So between the two of them, they're the ones that inspired me to do this.
Cool.
I just wanted to give them a quick shout-out. So we'll have their links for their things up on the website.
Okay, and we got a couple of other shout-outs.
Okay.
We have Carmen. Thank you for the brownie. Oh, well, actually, you know, we're always talking about the brownie recipes here, right? Well, Carmen stepped it up because last weekend was Pi Day 314, which was when we were at Concoction.
Yeah, we were at Concoction for that.
And Carmen took it upon herself to step it up, and I think she's trying to let you guys know how dedicated she is. It wasn't enough for a brownie recipe, and it wasn't enough just to talk about a pie recipe. She gave us a brownie pie recipe on Google Plus. So Carmen, thank you, you rock. And Garrett, friend of the show, surprised me and Geek Watch One. Those of us at Geek Watch One earlier this week with our first official fan gift.
Awesome!
We actually got a fan gift. It's a he was noticed that we were talking about Supergirl, and he managed to find a little mini card of Supergirl, which looked like she was in her costume from late 70s to maybe early mid 80s.
Just before the headband?
Yeah, it was before the headband. It was hot shorts and the V-neck.
Oh, yeah. Remember? Okay.
And it was before they changed it back to the skirt for the movie.
Yeah.
It was so
when they brought... At some point, we're going to have to do a Supergirl show, because out of all the Super Family, I think she's had more changes in her costume since she's been created than any of them.
Yes.
I mean, you had stuff like the V-neck at one point, I think, had like the Supergirl logo on the on one side only or
something.
Yeah,
on one side. It was a V-neck with on the side there, yeah.
She's had a headband with the Superman logo on, or the Super Family logo on it. She's
right.
All kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah, it's been, I mean, she has so many changes. I mean, Superman has had some changes, mm-hmm. especially after
his hairstyle changes more than anything else.
Yeah, true.
I think
the
shading of the blue is what changes on his costume.
Right,
the
shading
changes.
Well, until the new 52, then they totally changed
right.
everything.
Well, there was a time when he died, and then when he came back, you had the red and the blue.
Hey, that's when he had the super mullet.
Right. right. So.
Oh, the 80s.
No, the 80s.
That was early 90s.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Yeah,
that was
yeah,
early.
I got into the 90s.
That's when
true.
I was actually buying Superman comics.
Oh, Superman, you crazy, crazy dude. So, I was like, you know, dude, I said, you were the first. I mean, because we never expected, maybe sometime in the future, we would get a gift of some mm-hmm. type, maybe.
Have super fans and stalkers and all of that.
Yeah. But I was like, and it was cool. So, like, no.
Hey, I'm one of the few crazy ones that I'll welcome stalkers. Come on.
Yeah. So, we got to find. So, I guess now we have to find a place of honor to store our gifts wherever
yeah.
they may be. So, thank you. Thank
you.
You
know, if anyone does want to send us pieces of art or anything, either just the image of it, you can email us. KylanandKen@gmail.com. Or we are willing to give out a mailing address if you email us about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're happy. And we'll post pictures of these things and we'll have a nice display case and everything.
Yeah, because
nice.
we're huge fans of, I know when Dawn and I go to the cons, you have to drag us away from the artist because we love, you know, any kind of rendition, is that the word? Artist rendition
yes.
of...
any of our favorite characters.
Any of our favorite
yeah.
characters. You know,
we have a whole stack of pieces of art that's not framed at home.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we
have
just
similar.
Keep buying them.
Like, I was at a convention one time, and I couldn't say no to it. This guy did a sketch of Darth Maul versus Snake Eyes, which was perfect because
it was right when G.I.
Ray
Joe
Park,
was coming
yeah,
out.
And Ray
oh,
Park
nice.
Played both.
Ray Park was doing both. Yeah.
And I wanted to get Ray Park to autograph, and then I said, "Wait, no, you know," and I decided not to, and I have yet to frame it.
What you do is you get it framed, mm-hmm. and then you have him sign the glass.
No, see, there you go.
There you go. So, you know, and he's
that way the art doesn't have the signature on it, but you still have the signature.
That's true. You know, he still does the con circuit, so maybe, you know, we'll get around to get
the
around
last time
to
we saw him
at
something, there was such a huge lineup. It was like,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the problem. And the problem is, if you see him at a convention somewhere, you're going to be paying 30, 40, 50 bucks for his autograph.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
which.
Yeah, so.
Okay, so. Have we had any activity with on the Facebook page or Twitter or anything? Anybody we want to give a shout out to?
We haven't had a huge amount of reactions to things over the past couple weeks, but we've gotten new followers both on Facebook and Twitter. So hi, hello, and thank you for following. And we're always open to any of your comments on any geek issue or anything we talk about or post about.
Yeah.
Feel free to comment.
And one thing we have noticed, a lot of our new Twitter and Facebook followers are friends from the Tangent Bound Network, so all of the new podcasters, welcome. Thanks for checking us out, and we're going to be slowly as we go checking you guys out, too, as we can.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Next one we got is, you know what, let's go ahead and do the Mother Oif update. We have some new news from the from the world of Mother Oif. For Oddmall, we'll start that, because that's coming soonest. It's, what was the dates on, it's May 2nd and 3rd,
May
I believe?
Third is
May
2nd
and 3rd in Akron, Ohio, at the John S. Knight Convention Center. It's free to get in.
Free.
It's free. That means we need everybody to come say hello. We will be there. Right now, they're closing in on 200 vendors. So, and Andy has said, if we reach 200 vendors by April 1st, this is for everybody who may be getting a table at Oddmall. There will be a setup for Friday during the day if we get 200 vendors by April 1st.
And that'll just make it easier for the vendors instead of having to rush in on Saturday. We've been there. We've been there. It's no picnic, you know, because...
Yeah, when everybody's trying... When the earliest you can get there is like 8 a.m., you have to be up and running by 11. It's kind of difficult when the entire world's trying to do it.
And, I mean, it's a big space, but it only has one entryway for the vendors. And everyone has to wait in line. The cars will be parked out through the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of time. It's not just a matter of, oh, I can get there early and do it, because you know, 20, 30 other people thought the same thing.
Right.
And there's only so many of those big carts to wheel in.
Yeah.
So much space. So it really is much better if vendors can set up Friday.
And more Oddmall. This is actually Oddmall and Con on the Cob news. We actually have a Robo Battle League is bringing their robots to fight at Con on the Cob and Oddmall. It's just like the TV shows. What do you got? Wow. Go on, you're doing Vicky's job.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Well, maybe we'll have her post that on Facebook so you guys will see what distracted us this time. But the Robo Battle League is just what you've seen on TV, where it's guys create these battling robots to fight and smash each other to one robot standing. They will be at Con on the Cob and Oddmall with their arena set up. Also, we will have the Artist Wrestling League at Oddmall and Con on the Cob. I'm not sure exactly how this works. It's something to do with mashing up artists and professional wrestling.
Now, I was talking to Andy about this yesterday, and my understanding is the artists dress like wrestlers, okay?
Okay.
And then, you know, they're both, I guess they're both drawing whatever it is that they have to draw, and whoever does it best is the winner.
So it's like almost like what Andy does at Con on the Cob with Marker Madness and things of this nature.
Exactly, exactly. So,
except they're dressed like wrestlers.
Except they're dressed like wrestlers, so, you know, and, you know.
I'm not an artist, but I want to get involved in this.
See?
I can dress like a wrestler.
That's right.
Well,
that's
yes. Right. So this is,
say you had to be a good artist.
No.
Yeah.
So, you know, my stick figures are amazing.
That's right.
And they're not even straight, so, you know.
Okay. So that's both those are for Con on the Cob and Oddmall. And the I believe that's all the Oddmall news we have at the moment. But other than, we will be there also. Come see us. Say hello. We will have stickers. We will have
swag.
We will have swag?
We may even have buttons by then.
We might have buttons by then. Yes. So I know we have stickers. We'll have business cards, maybe flyers or something. I'm not sure. But come see us. We'll say hello. We're friendly.
And we like to take photos. I don't like to be in them, but I like to take them. So, you know, come and stand with the guys, and I'll take your photo, and we'll post it.
But we'll do that, yes.
The newest news for Con on the Cob is we have two bands confirmed right now. Worm Quartet and Devo Spice will both be at Con on the Cob this year performing.
And I guess they've been at other...
Yeah, they've been at Con on the Cob before, but right. I guess they're two of Andy's favorite bands, and I've heard some of their stuff that's good. They're very good bands.
And that, you know, there are some other acts that are going to be present,
too. Oh,
yeah,
there's always a large amount of bands at Con on the Cob, but this is the first. I guess these are the two big gets that we wanted to get. Like 2D6 is there every year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the others. If you guys know thefump.com, a lot of the Fump artists are there every year. Okay, and I believe that's it for the Motherwife update this week. Once again, on our website, we'll post up how to get all the information from Con on the Cob from Oddmall. You have cononthecob.com, all one word, cononthecob.com, and oddmall.com.
Right.
Oddmall.
Right.
That's how you get all the information for Con on the Cob and Oddmall. If you're in the Northeast Ohio area or Pennsylvania, or if you want to drive.
Also, for anybody who's interested in coming to Con on the Cob, like we mentioned before, all of us here at Geek Watch 1 are on the committee, or we are the committee for panels. So if anybody out there is interested in running a panel, you can either email us directly at Kyle and Ken, or you can even go to the website for the Con on the Cob website and submit your panel. And we're about to hit the ground running on this because we want to get this all scheduled out before summer hits, because summer hit, you blink, and then it's going to be October.
Yeah.
And so we want to get all this locked down and ready to go.
Also,
and the more panels that we have early on, the more people we can get and attract to it and make sure that everyone gets the subjects they want for the panels and get to see what they want to see.
And we know we have a lot of new podcasting friends, like we've mentioned this whole show so far, but we're trying to get somewhat of a podcasting presence at Con on the Cob.
Yes.
We will actually have, if you want to set up, you can do a live podcast from Con on the Cob, or we actually have a room that can be set aside that is for podcasting and tech. So if you want to do a podcast, a video podcast,
right,
with interviews with different guests from Con on the Cob, we will have a room that is set up. It's a quiet room, no one's going to bother you. You can actually do your interviews with the different guests and just give your opinion of how the show's going.
Right.
Also, we're doing a podcasting panel. So if you're a podcaster who decides they want to come to Con on the Cob, let us know if you want to get in on the panel with us. I mean, the more people we have that know that have done this and can talk to other people about it, the more information we can get out there.
Right. And we're, you know, we want to meet our fellow podcasters. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, and because, I mean, truth is, we're new to this, but we've been very fortunate in that.
How new are we? We were only doing this for 3 months. We're doing good.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. You know, we're practically experts now. You know, but we've been fortunate that we've had interaction with some various podcasters out there who, you know, run the gamut of all the different types of subjects. And so it's cool to get different pointers and get feedback. And it'll be cool just to actually meet some of these people and hang out with them.
Mm-hmm. It's always fun to put a face to the voice.
Right.
It is.
Not just in pictures.
Not just in pictures, you know, so.
Okay.
Maybe we can enjoy a nice brownie together.
Or, Con of the Cob is known very much for its parties. Every night is a party. My. And it's all included as part of the price of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my word. Yes.
So, early mornings at Con of the Cob usually are not good.
And then there's a chance there will once again be liquor-soaked gummies of some type that went over very well last year.
Holy moly. And, okay, whoever ends up getting the, panels, they start in 10 or 11.
Something like that, usually. Yeah.
Whoever gets the 10 or 11 o'clock panel on Sunday morning, don't be mad at us, because somebody has to do it, okay?
And it's not going
to
be
personally, I don't drink, so I'll be there to make sure everything's opened up. I'll let everybody else sleep in.
Keep things running smoothly.
Yeah, because it's... Yeah,
I'm the morning guy.
Yeah, it's...
It's the best bargain you can get.
Yeah, seriously. Like, we've been to our share of cons, and the parties at Con on the Cob, wow.
Yeah.
And they're all inclusive, like in the sense of anyone can go to any of the parties. At so many cons, there are like, you know, invite only, or you have to find out by word of mouth, and it's all really secret. Con on the Cob, it's kind of like the parties are quote unquote advertised.
Exactly.
You know, everyone knows about them. You know where they are. Everyone's welcome. You know, there are some, depending who runs them, that you'll get carded at the door. But, you know,
I know
you should expect it anyway.
Barfleet is 21 and over only.
Right.
The Savage Saturday Night Party, it depends on who. I'm usually there carding at the door, and you'll get a bracelet if you're old enough to get. And usually, though, even under 21, you can get in. But obviously, you're not going to be allowed to drink.
Right.
Right.
Most of the other parties are a gaming type party where everybody is having a good time, relaxing. You play a game, you can talk, mingle and talk.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Though I have also, I know they're planning at least one all ages family friendly dry party.
Yeah,
yeah, there,
and that's actually they're planning it to be a rave or something like that.
Yeah,
yeah,
family.
So this is
rave,
and this one's not made for the kids, but it's one that you can bring the kids to.
Yeah,
right.
And I know the kids' track has their normal pajama party every either Friday or Saturday.
Saturday, I think.
And I believe Santa Claus comes to that one.
Yeah.
It's
Santa Claus'
so it is,
pajama
it's a
party or something.
Event. It's not like this is just, you know, you have to worry about leaving your kids at home. There are kids' rooms. There's things for kids to do all day so you can go do your own thing.
Exactly.
And the kids are looked after.
And also, the kids are welcomed at all the other events also. So
right.
If your kids don't want to hang out in the kids' room all day, they can come and hang out with the rest of us.
They
That's
can
fine.
Play games. They can go to panels.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the panels are very accessible.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't have to worry about things being said or done that you don't want.
Yeah. I mean,
your
it's all during the day in public, technically.
Right, yeah,
and, if there is anything that might be questionable, we'll put it in the con book so everybody will
Absolutely.
Know.
Right.
There'll
so,
be a sign on the door, too.
Right.
So, okay, I believe that covers most of the Mother Oath for this week.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
for this show.
Yeah.
So, going next into it, we had some sightings of Kylan and Ken in the wild.
Yes.
Oh. We already touched on concoction some.
Right.
Hopefully next year we're going to have our own table at the fan booth.
Yes.
Or in with the fan table so you guys can come see us there, but that's another year away, so don't worry about that right now. The other one is last night, Kylan and I and Andy and Heather and Vicky all went to a new shop in Hudson, Ohio called the Malted Meeple.
It's a hangout. I won't call it a bar. It's like a hangout spot for people who want to play board games and
gaming in general, because they have card games and stuff there.
Yes.
The way I describe it from what I've seen is everybody knows what a game store is. You go to the store and you can play some games. They have tables in the back to set up, but you buy the games there and they may have some refreshments. Well, this is flip it on its head. This is a place that is more of a cafe type deal where they have your drinks and stuff and then you can play the games that they already have. All their waiters are also game masters that can teach you how to play any of the games they have.
Right. You pay for your table space, your
exactly.
table time, and you know, I believe it's like $5 and that you can go there as soon as they open, and that $5 is going to cover you all day.
Exactly. If you want to go in and sit there all day, it's $5 a person per table, and then you can be there all day if you like Kylan said, and you can they have milkshakes. They have some adult beverages. They have beverages for soft drinks and things like that. They have all kinds of snacks, different gourmet popcorns, pretzels, chips, all of that type of thing.
It is just snacks, though.
It's just snacks.
It's just snack food. It's not actually
like
dinner.
A restaurant kind of thing. It's just like snacks, like pretzels and Chex Mix and some premium popcorns and chocolates and things like that.
Honestly, like, if you just wanted to have a low-key date night, you could do that. Like, it's ideal for that. Or if you have a bunch of friends, you're like, hey, what do you want to do? Well, you know, let's go someplace and play a game. Mm-hmm. You can do that. I like the environment, and the staff is friendly.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a new place, and Ken and I introduced ourselves, and you know, we gave them some business cards, mm-hmm. and they seemed very receptive to having us come there.
Exactly.
You know, and so we're like, you know, and they're local, so we're going to rep them.
Yeah.
And
anybody who's interested, you can actually find the Malta Meeple in Hudson, Ohio, at 5100 Darrow Road. It's right at the corner of Norton Road and Darrow Road. And it's interesting, it's like a hexagon round type building, or octagon, I'm not sure how many sides, but it's just a big round building.
Right, and it's... It's like out there sitting in the, not exactly in the middle of the woods, but it's
behind some of the other buildings. Yeah,
it's a unique building. It sticks out like a sore thumb,
mm-hmm.
but it's cool. And Andy, I believe, is going to bring they'd be receptive to Andy bringing some of his games.
Yeah, Andy's going to have some of his games there. So if you wanted to try Dementalism or Gazoink or the new board game, what is it, in the fall he's putting out the new Motherwave board game.
Yeah.
Board game of some sort.
Yeah, and also Gazoink, which I don't know if any of you guys have played the original version. Andy has a new and improved version that is coming out
soon.
Yeah, he'll have it out before Oddmall.
Yeah, and in fact, we play tested that game.
Mm-hmm.
At Concoction. Had a great time at mm-hmm. that. And if you guys know and have any connections with any authors or game developers, or we are all about playtesting stuff, reading stuff, and reviewing. We will love to do that. So
we have no problem pimping your stuff on the show.
Seriously.
Oh, we'll pimp everybody. I don't care. I'll give plugs to everybody.
Yes, so...
But at the Malta Meeple, I want to give a shout-out to Carrington. He's all cool. He gave us all the information to help out so that we could plug them. And they took some of our business cards so that we could basically cross-promote both directions.
Right.
If you look up themaltedmeeple.com, and if you want to know how to spell that, check out our show notes and Facebook page. We'll have Miss Dawn put it up on there for you. And then any other questions, give them a call. You can call the actual store at 330-655-6919.
All right, so... Hi, Carrington. Thanks for making Saturday night awesome. And you and the staff at the Malted Meeple, thank you. We had a blast.
Yeah, it's some of the most fun I've had on a Saturday night for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's saying something.
That's true. I mean, we're talking about, we can actually compare that to a night at one of the gaming parties at Con on the Cop.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's good to have a place that so many people want to play games, but they don't necessarily want to spend $30, $40, $50 on a game that they're not sure about. And people, unlike us and our friends, don't have gaming libraries and a resource to get a lot of games. So so this is a good place to go try things out. And I mean, $5.
Okay.
It's a good price.
Yes.
Okay, now I think it's time to get into some news. We have, first off, we have tech news. What do you got for us, Kylan?
The FCC has voted to allow Amazon to use drones for deliveries, to make deliveries now. I believe they're going to do this in some of the large areas.
They'll probably have, New York and L.A., maybe Chicago to start with.
Right, and then depending on, the success and, the amount of problems that could pop up or not pop up from this, can see this taking place in...
Yeah, it all depends on how high the drones are going to fly, and I believe they're all going to be radio controlled, or I don't know if they're going to be radio controlled, or the GPS automatic control.
They can't be out of the sight of the operator.
So how's that going
to
work?
It sounds like they'll actually have to have some kind of delivery van, and the drone goes out from the van, which seems pointless.
Yeah, other than the fact that they're using drones.
Yeah.
Vicky had a cool point the other day, though, saying, I wonder how many UFO sightings we're going to have now with people seeing the Amazon drones thinking it's a UFO.
Right. Well, you probably won't, though, because they're not supposed to go too high. They're supposed to be fairly low flying.
Yeah.
And like UFOs. I said, but they're not unidentified.
Yeah. Well, no.
So they're not UFO.
That's if you recognize it. If you don't recognize it, it's unidentified to you.
Well, yeah, but as soon as you report it, they know what it is. So.
Yeah. So.
And if it's through the FAA, they're probably tracking. They're going to have some whole new tracking system for these low flying objects.
Which, you know, the other question is, how would this affect the other companies that have, you know, traditionally delivered for Amazon? I mean, you got the Postal Service, you got DHL, FedEx.
Yeah, Amazon delivers through all those.
Yeah, right, that's the thing. Are they going to have their own delivery service now because they need people operating the drones within eyesight?
Right, because FedEx doesn't use drones to our knowledge. Yeah. They don't. UPS doesn't.
No one uses drones to our knowledge.
Yeah. Right. Well, yes.
What you got?
I was going to say, Which delivery did we get from Amazon that they, instead of putting the box that we ordered on the front porch or even on the back?
Oh, I think that was Prestige.
They put it in the mud under the porch?
Well, we had that. I've had it, we have one of those aluminum overhangs over our front door. Mm-hmm. I've had it stuffed up into the overhang in the crook so it would stay dry.
That all depends on the delivery person, though.
Like,
you're
short like me. I would have never seen it.
Yeah.
B, I would have never even been able to get it. He struggled to get it down.
Right.
See.
It's interesting.
So, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, does this mean that Amazon is now going to be responsible for their own deliveries? And if so...
That could actually... Once they have the infrastructure, it could save them money.
Okay,
Video gamers have jobs now.
No, they don't.
Yeah?
I was just looking it up on the FAA. Basically, the pilot actually flying the aircraft, because that's what they call it, must have at least a private pilot certificate and current medical certification.
Whoa!
Okay.
So they actually have requirements. It's not just anyone who does the delivery can learn how to use the joystick and do it.
Yeah.
You actually have to have certification. So they actually have to put these people through some sort of courses.
They're allowing the drones, but they're making the hoops so small that you get a very small amount of people.
Oh, they changed all of the rules for them, basically, and said, yeah, sure, if you can do this and this and this and this other thing,
so
that
don't expect to see them anytime in the next 3 months. So
that's right.
So there's that.
But I think Vicky had a point, though. Most gamers that have flown flight sims on the computer will be able to get their licenses. Once they learn how to get the licenses and stuff, that's the people. Because even the military, they've already said that's who they're targeting right now for flying military drones is gamers. Because the reflexes are faster. They're used to flying a machine on a TV screen instead of seeing it.
Right.
Exactly, or through little eyepieces and things.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's go ahead and move to book news. Kylan had some stuff on this.
Yeah, we have, well, Tuesday, what was the date of Tuesday? That was March...
March 17th, it was St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patty's Day. Gail Carriger, who's the author of the Parasol Protectorate series and the Finishing School series, which is her YA series.
These two series, what type of author is she? Because I've never heard of Gail Carriger.
She's a steampunk author. Okay. Her books take place in a alternate England, a Victorian England. So, whereas there's werewolves and vampires.
Of course.
Airships, because you gotta have airships.
And a lot of gadgets. They're very gadget heavy, which is kind of cool.
And the gadgets are, you know, to a certain degree, you know, you have some modern conveniences, but they tend to not really go over the top like some of the steampunk novels do. So, very high. There's like this mix of high adventure with the intrigue of spy novels, along with some of the paranormal stuff. Very fun reads.
She is very funny, too. There's a lot of, like, the witty type of humor that you'd get in more Victorian-style novels.
Well, that's good.
Right, and so it's literary, but yet very...
Accessible.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
And so she's written the follow-up to her Parasol Protectorate series, and this is called Prudence. And
The
first book is called Prudence, and this is the Custard Protocol, which is now on my list of to be read books.
Okay,
Gail.
I don't think you even finished the series.
Yeah, I haven't finished the first series yet. No, but Gail is like one of my favorite authors. I love her stuff.
This is set about 20 years after the Parasol Protectorate ends, and it's not much of a spoiler to say that Prudence is the daughter of of Alexia, the main character in the Protectorate books. And so she kind of, in a sense, continues her mother's legacy of adventures and that sort of thing.
Okay. So I wanted to sort of give Gail a shout out because she's awesome. Met her at a convention a few years back, and she's very friendly, great writer, great person. Okay. Loved her. So
and Dawn, you're going to put up a We'll have Dawn put up a couple links so you can find her works easier, maybe on Amazon. Absolutely. And some things like that on her
Yeah, she has a website too, GailCarriager.com, so she's got all sorts of stuff there too.
Okay,
yeah. Yep. All right, so that so there's the book news there, and then in Marvel news, okay, there's this obscure character, and when I mean obscure, I mean maybe three people in the entire country has heard of this character. Back in the 80s, Marvel had a mature-themed line that was sort of intended to try and revitalize the Marvel brand.
So it'd be more on the lines of, like, DC's Vertigo?
Yes, exactly, okay. Exactly. It was called Epic. And so in that line, there was this one character's name is Crash Ryan, who is like a high adventure Indiana Jones type of character.
Okay.
The world that he lives in is set in the 1930s. Well, this character has been picked up recently with the idea of doing a movie. I don't know if it's going to be a movie series, but we're looking at a movie for this character. He's been described as an Indiana Jones meets Star Wars type of world that they live in. Think The Rocketeer or Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow. So this is more of a diesel punk type of world.
Yeah.
So he's high adventure pulp kind of person.
That sounds like it could be some fun.
It could be. And he's not, this character does not exist in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He's separate. So
do we know who's talking about making it? What company or anything?
There's no company attached to it. Looks like it was picked up by, looks like the guy that was behind, was the robot. There was a, I have to look it up. There's a robot. There was a movie back in the 80s that was about a robot, Number 5.
Short Circuit?
Short Circuit. Yeah, the guy that was behind Short Circuit is the one that's looking at it. So, yeah, so this could be fun. And, when they say mature themed, I think there was more in the sense of, I think that's what Marvel labeled a lot of their non-superhero type stuff.
More higher concept where, I think it takes a little bit more thinking than...
Right,
so it was.
Not like the comic books take less thinking. I mean, if it took less thinking, we wouldn't be sitting here podcasting about it so often.
Right. But like you said, it was closer to DC's adult theme. So
More like Vertigo.
More like Vertigo. So, along the lines of that. We'll keep an eye on that, see what's going on there.
And I heard the next story actually has Dawn peaked a little bit. It's kind of maybe her favorite character in the world.
Maybe, possibly. Deadpool. Yep, that's it. He is my favorite character. And they started filming the movie this week, and they came out with the character that Marina Baccarin is playing. We had a few potential characters for her when we first started finding out that she was in the movie. She is playing, at the moment, they're calling her Vanessa, but anyone who is into any amount of Deadpool knows that Vanessa basically is Copycat.
Who's Copycat?
Copycat is a mutant. Vanessa is a mutant from the beginning anyway.
This is being done by 20th Century Fox, who owns the rights to the name
they
mutant.
They can actually say mutant! She's a shapeshifter. Vanessa Carlyle, and she is the one who essentially Deadpool falls in love with first. He has a few loves through his life, but that's kind of his first love, and it's before he goes through any type of Weapon X / Wolverine blood transfusion thingy. And he's with her when he finds out he has cancer, which for anyone who doesn't know, that's a big Deadpool plot thing, because that's why underneath the mask he's all kind of nasty. But he finds out he has cancer, and he breaks up with her and essentially leaves her heartbroken. So if they're using this as the Deadpool origin, going back to this, it's obvious she's going to come back throughout the story and not be so happy about it because they've broken up and all that kind of thing. So, but the character herself is, starts out in the storyline as a prostitute in Boston, and that's where she meets Deadpool. And, she kind of becomes Copycat sort of around the same time they break up. And so then she'll obviously be, I would think she'd have to be in the movie as Copycat at some point, although right now they're calling her character Vanessa.
Okay.
When you really first meet her in the comics, she's kind of masked herself to be, to look like Domino, another major character in the Deadpool universe. She's with Cable at that time, and there's a whole big connection between Deadpool and Cable. So there's a lot of ways this movie can go.
Yeah. Well, seeing the way
who she's playing.
You never know how what they're going to use, what they're not going to use, mm-hmm. seeing the way that 20th Century Fox a lot of times cover handles their stuff.
Yeah.
So you don't know who they're going to put in, who they're
not. I'm wondering almost if they're going to kind of briefly touch on his very early beginnings with Vanessa, and then she's going to show up later as Copycat, because then if you do, you know, like a brief flashback sort of thing, she doesn't have to be in it long for that aspect of it, and then come up later.
Have we heard anything about the movie, if they're going to continue the story that they started in Wolverine Origins?
They're kind of ignoring that.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
Thankfully.
That's going to be... that may be confusing for some casual fans, though, since they're using the same actor as Deadpool and things like that.
Well, he's not going to look at all like it, though. I mean, he's going to look truly like Deadpool in this movie.
Okay.
So, in Wolverine Origins, he didn't really look anything like Deadpool. Everyone just knew that that was him.
Okay.
I was thrilled to see him in that because it was, you know, the chance to get him in anything at the time.
Yeah.
And... it kind of showed you that Ryan Reynolds was perfect for the character anyway, because even though he couldn't talk, you knew he was still kind of a smart mouth and everything. And by the end, when they had that end clip with him, his mouth being open and saying shh, that kind of thing. But yeah, they're not approaching it from that level at all. They messed it up.
Okay.
And they know it. And they're going back to where it should be. So I'm really looking forward to this, because so far, so good.
Okay, so I think that covers Marvel at the moment. Now on to DC news. And I believe we're going to do some TV DC news, right?
Yes.
Kylan had some reactions to this week's episode of Flash, which was the first episode back from the hiatus.
Yes.
And it actually brought full-on time travel into the DCU television universe.
Yeah, it was this.
Now, from this point on, we're going to have spoilers, guys. If you've not seen it, you might want to skip ahead a little bit.
Right,
it's more than a week since the episode has aired. You should have watched it by now.
Right, so we're not. You can't be mad at us for what we're about to say.
And kind of, you said you actually had some questions about some of the powers and stuff that you're seeing in this.
Well, yeah, because you know, like I'm familiar with Flash, and I know that he can travel through time, and I get that. But you know, there was a whole thing. I'm still trying to figure out, and I even get the after image effect of how Eddard
Eobard,
how he split himself into two. Now the question is, who was that was inside the containment unit?
I think it was it was him, but I believe it was actually a hologram image. You gotta think, Eobard Thawne is from the future. What do you say, about 500 years or something in the future?
Yeah, right.
I think it was, my personal opinion is, hologram technology built into the way the system works. Because remember, when Cisco reactivated the field, everything works fine, and Eobard, or in the Reverse Flash, is standing there.
Right.
Yeah, wasn't it like a recording? It was.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a recording.
That's the impression I got, and that's what Cisco discovered that ended him. That was the saddest thing I ever saw.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you gotta remember, none of that happened.
I know, that's the thing. It's like, oh my god,
As soon as I saw that happen, wasn't that, Vicky, was that the point when we saw Cisco die, is when I'm like, you know what, all this is getting reversed.
Yes.
Yeah.
I told her, Vicky and I were watching.
They showed the answer at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
They showed an after image at the beginning of the show, but it's like one of those, knowing Flash and knowing there's time travel, as soon as 20 crazy things happen all at once, you know they're reversing all this, so none of that is ever going to have actually happened.
Right.
And
so
the thing that makes me wonder is how many people are going to drop Flash now that it's gotten to time travel. Because I have to be honest, I have a coworker who's not a geek, but he's been enjoying the Flash. And before they went on break, he asked me, he said, "There's time travel coming up, isn't there?" And I was like, "Well, yeah, that's part of the Flash story."
Yeah.
And he said, "Oh." And I was like, "Well, what's wrong with that?" He's like, "I just don't get the time travel thing."
Well, it depends. It's all going to depend on how deep they get into it and how convoluted they let the storyline get with time travel. Because time travel you can do without getting all crazy and super science-y.
Yeah. Right.
I think to keep the potentially non-geek audience, they're going to have to keep it fairly surface and fairly straightforward. Which is going to help a lot.
And I figured they're going to, this next episode, they're probably going to go ahead and resolve. Now, most of you people hopefully have already seen the next episode by the time this comes out, but because they're going to resolve time travel probably, or a lot of it, on the next episode, which is episode 16.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because the week after that, episode 17, is The Trickster.
Yes.
And everybody who's, if you know anything about Flash and realize, Mark Hamill is coming to the Flash as the Trickster, as the original Trickster.
Yeah, the old Trickster, because they have a new one.
Which, he had played the character in the original Flash series from the 90s.
The best part is, have you seen the villain's trailer for Flash?
Yes.
And do you see the newspaper clipping they have on there? There was a newspaper clipping on there of Mark Hamill as Trickster, and it's actually taken from the original Flash series.
Right. Yes, that's right.
In the spandex multicolored costume.
One of the
craziest costumes ever.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. Anybody who doesn't know, Trickster is Flash's version of the Joker, not quite as homicidal.
Yeah.
Right.
He's just as crazy, but doesn't have the homicidal tendencies.
Right.
And so, like, you know, having watched this episode, there were enough reveals that it easily could have been a season finale.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
there was so much going on, and it was like it had almost a cliffhanger ending because of the whole time travel thing.
Yeah.
And then the revelation to the girlfriend, not girlfriend.
The non-girlfriend, yeah, the Iris.
Yeah, it's Iris.
I don't like her.
Revelation to Iris.
They'll end up together.
Yeah.
They have to.
And it's like,
okay. I didn't want you to find out this way. Oh, well.
my biggest thing about the revelation, I knew that's going to happen at some point. Obviously, it's not going to happen now.
Right.
Because they already did it and they're going to erase it.
That's right.
But the biggest thing I geeked out about was seeing the final who is the name of the Reverse Flash and the revelation that Harrison Wells is Eobard Thawne from The Witcher.
Right.
Which everybody figured out anyway, but there's been, I believe, 3 Reverse Flashes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it was always a question of which one is he.
Yes.
This one is Eobard Thawne, who's a huge fan of the Flash in the future, and he goes crazy because of this. He's basically a Flash stalker.
How far in the future is he?
It's something like 500 years or so
because
in the future.
That's what I was wondering, because when he talked about
he mentions it in the show.
Being a distant relative, I was like, okay, is that great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, great-great-great?
Uh-huh.
You know, like how many 500 years.
If I remember, Eobard Thawne comes from the same time frame as the Legion of Superheroes
and
Bart Allen.
Okay.
Right.
Impulse, for anybody who's been watching, he's now the Kid Flash, I believe, right now.
Yeah.
Right.
So, in Kid Flash news, I've not heard it fully confirmed, but it looks like they're leaning really heavy on seeing Wally West next season.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, and it looks like they're trying to cast someone that's early teens. So we may actually be seeing Kid Flash starting next season.
And you know, for people who are only, like, let's say casual fans, and you just watch the TV show, and it's like, well, this guy got struck by lightning, and, you know, that was all a random event. Well, see, another thing about that world that the Flash takes place in, the Speed Force, which is kind of touch on it a little bit.
They talk about it some.
Yeah, the speedsters are kind of chosen.
Yeah, that's the way the DC Universe describes it.
Yeah,
true speedsters.
Yes.
Because there's like 2 different versions. True speedsters are the ones that actually tap into the Speed Force and use it. But there are super speed characters that are not. Like, Superman is super fast, but he doesn't touch the Speed Force.
But that's not, yeah.
Right. Yeah, there's other... Shazam is another one. Mm-hmm. Captain Marvel doesn't touch the Speed Force, but he's super fast.
Right.
So, the ones that are true speedsters are your Flash, Max Mercury, Jesse Quick, ones like that are actual... They tap into the Speed Force, which I believe... Jeff Johns in Flash Rebirth, I believe, explains that the Speed Force is generated by Barry Allen originally.
Mm-hmm.
And from him, it goes forward and backward in time.
Yeah.
And it gets really deep from there, guys. If you want to learn basically the origins of the Speed Force and things, read Flash Rebirth.
Right. And so that's that. Now, I like that they actually at least touched upon that because, you know, it brings a casual fan in a little bit deeper. So that as they start getting to the more fantastic aspects of this world, they'll see, it's not just, they just want to create another character. Within this world, there's a reason for that.
And I think it's good that they've brought up the time travel aspect at this point. Like, they're not waiting for, let's wait till season 2. Let's wait. And they brought it up so that now there's... you know, a focus for him on what's going on, etc., and not just Villain of the Week.
Yeah.
Right.
Because, I mean, like most of them, like most of the shows that have been on, it's kind of like you have to start as Villain of the Week to get people's interest.
Yeah. Right.
And now that you've got it, you've got this other major mega plot point, and you can go beyond Villain of the Week.
The nice thing with Flash also is they keep calling back. They've in the first month or so, first 5 or 6 episodes, you had a Villain of the Week.
Yeah.
But that's so that now they can reuse those villains over and over again. How many times have we seen Captain Cold already?
Exactly.
Right.
Things like that.
But now there's a whole different strategy involved because
exactly.
He knows about them and he knows he's been there before.
Mm-hmm. And the nice thing is, The Flash, I've heard at other podcasts and other places that what everybody loves is most people, when they think of superhero TV show, they go back to Smallville. Mm-hmm. And Smallville had so much hand tying and things that they couldn't do this, couldn't right. do that. Everybody's used to a long wait to get to something really good.
Yep.
Right.
Flash started the first episode. Here's your costume. Here's your powers. Go have fun.
Yeah.
Right.
And they've not had any constraints in the Flash universe since then. They're just going all out, going full speed, ready to go.
Right.
Right. You know, I love that they... I get the reason why there was no flights, no tights yeah. rule with Smallville. I get that, but Flash embraced it.
Exactly.
And
you kind of need it with Flash, though.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Even in his origin, just generally, the accident, and then he does it. Like, it just,
exactly.
it just is what it is.
Right. Well, if you look at when the Smallville came out, or what was it, 99, mm-hmm. I believe, was when Smallville first out.
Right.
What else was happening with superheroes? You had that. You had X-Men had just come out, mm-hmm. or it's coming out very quick. And Spider-Man had just come out. And Spider-Man's the only one that really did a real... costume.
Yeah.
Right.
The production companies were afraid of, didn't know what superheroes were going to do.
Right.
Because we had had 20 years, we had 20 years from like 1980 till 2000 of superheroes being hit or miss. Didn't know,
yep.
like Batman hit hard.
Right.
Superman hit hard.
Right.
But other than that, it was difficult. You had some really bad stuff in there. But Blade was filmed as a superhero show.
Yeah. That's true.
Blade was a vampire show.
Yeah.
That's
and he didn't really have a costume.
Exactly.
It was more, he just had some gear.
Right, yeah.
He had his gear, but it was a varied form of a vampire story.
Right,
right. right.
Which people had no problem doing vampires.
Yeah.
But the production companies have taken this long to realize that people will accept a superhero in tights.
Yep.
Right. I mean, even Mutant X, they were just in street clothes.
Exactly.
They had
exactly.
abilities.
But also, many people have never heard of Mutant X because
mm-hmm.
it was syndicated. So how
right.
many places did they
that's
got,
true.
Like, nothing? They were on the nothing channels.
Right, that's
all
true.
All your no affiliation type networks.
That's yep. true, yeah.
Or so, it was like, I think UPN may have had it when they were still around.
It ran on WGN, which
okay.
was,
yeah.
you know.
Which
I mean,
was still a very young channel
mm-hmm.
at that point for a superstation
exactly.
type
right.
channel.
Right.
Okay. So, do we answer most of your questions, you think, on Flash?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, well, can we talk Star Wars?
Yes.
Okay, go for it.
Go
Star
for
Wars
it.
Time.
Do you mind if we talk some Star Wars?
We can talk Star Wars.
Okay. On March 12th, 2015, the Earth shattered with Star Wars news. That's when Disney chief Bob Iger had a press conference in which he announced Rogue One is coming... On December 16th, 2016, Rogue One is the first standalone movie in the Star Wars franchise ever to be released, if you don't count the Clone Wars movie.
Right.
Which the Clone Wars movie set up a bunch of other things, so that was like a theatrical television premiere. But it is being directed by Gareth Edwards, which I don't know most of his other movies except for he directed that little movie made about a big lizard called Godzilla.
Yeah.
So Gareth Edwards directed it. It was being written by Chris Weitz. And they've already announced the star. Felicity Jones is going to star in this movie. I don't know if she's the main star or if she's one of the stars. Right now, she's the only one being that's been attached.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea for the movie actually comes from John Knoll. You know, have you heard the name?
Name sounds familiar.
He actually is the visual effects supervisor and chief creative officer at ILM, Industrial Light and Magic.
Yes.
He's actually worked. I got to double check real quick, but I know he worked on all three prequels movies as a large part, and I believe he worked on the original trilogy also, but let me look him up. Give me 30 seconds to look this up. And then, but also, we'll come back to John Knoll, but Kathy Kennedy and John Schwartz are the producers. It's being produced, or co-produced by Kathy Kennedy and John Schwartz are the producers. Executive producers are going to be John Knoll, Simon Emmanuel, and Jason McGatlin, which a lot of those I don't know personally, but except for John Knoll and Kathy Kennedy. Kathleen Kennedy, you're going to see, is on all of these because she's actually the president of Lucasfilm now.
And is she a Disney person that moved over to...
No, actually, Kathy Kennedy was a friend of George Lucas. That was the one thing when he left, he chose his successor. Kathy Kennedy was actually one of the... if you've seen DreamWorks has the little... initials at the end, SKG.
Yeah.
Well, she was the K at DreamWorks.
Okay, okay.
So she was one of the heads of DreamWorks, and she quit there with, I believe, her husband, and Spielberg is the other, is the S on SKG.
Right.
So she moved from there to Lucasfilm. So she's worked with Spielberg and Lucas for all these years. So when Lucas stepped out, he picked his successor for her to come in.
So he can ensure that, in essence, his vision remains intact.
Exactly.
To a certain degree. And that's good.
John Knoll did visual effects on Avatar.
Awesome.
And Pacific Rim.
Yeah, he has 37 credits on visual effects.
Yep.
Going all the way back to Star Wars A New Hope. Yeah, he's worked on all six Star Wars films.
Yep.
As visual effects supervisor for A New Hope and for Return of the Jedi. No, he didn't do Empire. But he was a visual effects supervisor for A New Hope, for Jedi. He's worked The Next Generation, The Golden Child, Interspace, Willow, Abyss. If you name a movie, he's been in it, starting all the way back in the 80s, all the way up through now. His credits are amazing. The first Mission Impossible movie. All the Star Trek movies.
I'm a fan of that one.
So. And I think he did Ghost Protocol, too.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
I will find out here in just a second. So he's got a little bit of credit when it comes to working with these movies. So if he came up with a story, it's going to be an interesting thing with probably a lot of effects. I'm looking at it as, just going by the title, and I've heard other people talking too, I'm thinking it's going to be a Rogue Squadron movie.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's going to be about these X-Wing pilots. Now, what do you think? Where do you think they're going to put this in the timeline, though?
I'm thinking it's going to probably be... It may run concurrent with
you think again,
Force Awakens.
Force Awakens?
That's what I think. I mean, because at least like when now... And I know this is now considered legend, you know, but the Rogue Squadron novels pretty much were concurrent with...
Well, they were...
The books.
They started 2 or 3 years after Return of the Jedi.
Right, right. So there was... So it wasn't like that there was... they weren't like too far into the future. And so, and as you read the books, you kind of got an idea of what was going on with the New Republic,
exactly.
I guess, at that point.
Well,
so,
the cool thing with those books was they started out as a fighter squadron book.
Right.
They morphed over time. There was like, 10 or 12 books in the series?
Right.
Into more of a spy squadron.
Right.
It was an interesting transition the way they did it.
When they introduced, I think it had been the fourth book, I think was Wraith Squadron, and that's when they started introducing the ground force unit.
Yeah.
And so you had the Rogue Squadron, which was like
all your X-Wing pilots,
and Wraith Squadron, which were special forces, more or less. And then it just kind of went from there. And so I believe that was like one of the first forays into to bring Star Wars fans who maybe you really like Star Wars, but say you really like military fiction. Well, this kind of brought you into that. If you really like spy fiction, it brought you deeper into it.
Exactly.
You know, so, and I think this was like the first experiment maybe into that, and they're like, oh, well, we have people who like different genres. Well, we can do this with Star Wars. We can do that with Star Wars. And I'm a fan of the series. So,
I'm kind of hoping that maybe it's sometime right after Return of the Jedi.
That would be fun.
See what happens after the Death Star blows up, actually visually.
Yes.
Because we have a book coming this summer that takes place right at the end of the Battle of Endor, is where it starts. To continue the story towards The Force Awakens with all the new books. Mr. Onlet found a story for us that they were saying there's over 20 books.
Yeah.
There's over 20 books being planned as the roll-up to The Force Awakens.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean they're all going to be new novels.
No.
They're talking all of your visual guides, all of your comic books, all of the children's books. All of that, I believe, is being lumped into this 20 books that
Force Awakens. The target age ranges from children to adults, and that it's going to include the tech novel, the tech specs kind of things, and that as well. Like I mentioned to you earlier, the ones I'm looking forward to is the series that's supposed to come out retelling the stories of the first few movies from the point of view of different characters. So, it's not from the main characters. And I think I read that there's one of them that's actually going to be from the point of view of C-3PO. You know, something
that
like
that.
That
would be an interesting one.
So it's almost going to be... for any of you literary geeks out there who read Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, who either read that or saw the play, which is a different point of view of the Hamlet story by a couple of servants who are there at the time. I just love that kind of thing where you have the story, but you have a completely different take on it, and some things that you thought of in a specific way because of the way the story was told could be completely different and could be completely unimportant, even though they were huge in the movie.
Right.
This character wasn't there and didn't realize it until after the fact, and they were like, oh, yeah, that happened too.
Well, there was... Well, I mean, didn't you read... There was years ago you read a series called Tag and Banks.
Yes.
And that's what that was written based on.
It's a comic book... that is,
I think I heard about this one.
I think it's Tag and Bink Are Dead. I think it was based on the whole Rosencrantz and Guildenstern thing. And it's a couple of stormtroopers. And I believe it's been a while since I've read it.
I believe they were stormtroopers.
And it was basically their point of view on the goings on.
Like, I think they were present when Princess Leia was taken hostage.
Okay,
like,
yeah, but they basically saw her go down the hallway. Like, yeah, there wasn't much else than them watching her go down.
That
the
sounds
hallway.
Familiar. It's almost like it almost sounds like one of the robot robot chicken type sketches.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Rogue One is going to be filming this summer in London.
Right.
And it looks like basically what's happening is as soon as The Force Awakens wrapped, James Bond's Spectre moved in. As soon as Spectre wraps, they're going to move Rogue One in. As soon as Rogue One wraps, it looks like Episode 8's going to get in there.
Cool.
So, but we have a little bit of Episode 8 news. During the same press conference, it was announced that Star Wars Episode 8 is going to be written and directed by Rian Johnson, which the only major credit, he's got 3 episodes of Breaking Bad that he directed, but he's also the mind behind Looper. If anybody saw that movie, who's Joseph Gordon-Levitt was in that
And Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis, okay. If you saw that one, he was the writer-director for that.
Right, yeah.
Now, that one's going to be the fun thing on this one, which is going to be the release date for Episode 8 is going to be May 26th, 2017. Did you hear what the major thing with this is? Mm-hmm. It is 40 years and one day from the release of Episode 4, A New Hope.
Oh.
Oh.
So I'm sitting here wondering, well, why don't they just change the release date and put it on Thursday instead of Friday?
Yeah. Right.
If you release it on Thursday, you're 40 years to the day from the first Star Wars movie ever hitting the screen.
Right.
I mean, it's not like they don't occasionally change release dates on things to Thursdays or Wednesdays.
Yeah, right. The whole Lord of the Rings series was released on Wednesdays.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think as a fun, I mean, it would have been cool if they did it like on Star Wars Day, but being that that's the 40th anniversary of A New Hope, that release it on that day, on the 25th.
Right. That would have been cool.
And that one, of course, has Kathy Kennedy and producing. She produces all of them.
Right.
Which is because she's the president of the company. And Ram Bergman is also a producer. I guess he's worked most of Rian Johnson's films, or a lot of Rian Johnson's films also. They work together a lot. And J.J. Abrams is actually being credited as executive producer.
Oh.
Cool.
And there's a chance that I've heard that Abrams may be back to direct 9.
Okay.
But that's way out in the ether. No one is sure about anything on that.
Well, the question is he being credited more because he's under contract and they have to have his
name
there?
That's what I'm wondering, or is he actually directing the whole way everything goes?
Yeah, executive usually just means they have a hand in it, kind of like in the barest of senses, or they've paid for it or something.
Mm-hmm. Or is he executive producing the way Joss Whedon's been doing the Marvel Universe?
Right.
Where he's actually saying, okay, tweak this a little bit and tweak that a little bit.
The whole flow of it, yeah.
To make sure it all fits.
Right.
So we don't know. We'll see how that goes. The prevailing theory I've heard out there right now is all the major details for Episode 9, we may be getting those as soon as next month at Star Wars Celebration. Because at the end, the last day, the last stage thing at Star Wars Celebration always has some big announcement.
Yeah.
So that
there'll be something.
Hopefully it'll be something. That may be it. I think that's all the Star Wars major news. I mean, there's always Star Wars breaking news happening no matter what. So that's all we have for that today. I think we're at the end of our news stuff, aren't we?
Yeah. Well,
or did you have anything else?
That may have been it. I mean, there's Tron 3 starts filming this fall.
Yes, everybody that just heard, we said Tron 3.
Tron 3. Which
And this show has no room for hate for Tron. We love Tron here.
Like, we honestly, I was thinking that we were not going to see Tron 3 because of the Tron series that Disney XD did a couple of years ago. And I was thinking, well, did that mean that Tron 3 was not going to happen? But no, we are getting Tron 3.
And actually, everything I've heard is Tron 3 starts at the end of Tron 2, with them driving off into the sunset, that's where it picks up.
So
it is going to be a continuation and a sequel to Tron Legacy.
So, awesome. So, I'm
Well, if you want news about something that doesn't need a sequel, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles sequel is starting filming in May in Buffalo.
I've never seen the movie yet.
No.
What, are you talking about sequel? The Michael Bay one?
The horrible movie that came out? Yeah, The ones where the turtles have noses?
No hating for the turtles. I mean, that may not have been a good movie.
I don't hate the turtles. I just really don't think they should have those noses.
I
have to sit down and watch the movie horrible. Still. So.
I'm curious to see.
I did not see the movie, I'll admit, but all the horrible things I heard about it, I didn't think it was worth seeing.
I'm curious to see it. I know that there's a lot of Michael Bay hate out there. I'm not anti-Michael Bay, so, wow.
Heard yesterday that it's in May they're starting to film it in
Buffalo. The Civic Theater here in Akron. We may have to go see that.
Shrek the Musical?
Yeah. Miss Vicky just got us again, she found on her phone, here in the Civic Theater in Akron is going to be getting Shrek the Musical is coming to town. When? In June. So we may have to get tickets and let you guys know how that is, because I've seen some pictures from it. It looks interesting.
So, oh, wow. Oh, yeah. My brain's
Have
broken.
You seen pictures from it?
No.
Well, I've seen it's from like the Tony Awards a couple years ago when it first came out.
Well, that's like when, kind of the way Disney does their musicals, so that their characters are like big and larger than life, but a guy inside of it. Well, that's kind of like what this is also.
Well, see, and I love Shrek. I mean, I love it's fun, so. Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, so that was just the last little bit that.
Yep. And I think that it's time for wrap up. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, thank you everybody for listening to this week's issue, or this, whatever, every 2 weeks issue, but hey, once again, thank you to all of the, all of our new fans and new friends, and I don't think, we don't have fans, we have geeksters. I like the way you've named them geeksters.
Yeah,
So we gotta stop saying fans.
We have geeksters.
Okay, so you can find us at KylanandKen.com. You can find us at GeekWatch1 on iTunes and Stitcher. If you're on there, give us a review and a rating. The more reviews and ratings we get on iTunes and Stitcher, the higher up we are on their listing, so the more people are going to find out about us. Now, you can go to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It's at Kylan and Ken. On email, it's at kylanandken@gmail.com. Also, we have the new address of www.tangentboundnetwork.com. That's where you find all of the Tangent Bound podcasts and all of our new friends there. Did you got anything else for us, Kylan?
Actually, did we have the logo? We didn't have the logo at the last, with issue 4, did we?
We did.
We had the logo.
Just before we posted issue 4, we got the new logo.
Right, so.
So, you know, we have a new logo.
So we want to give a shout out to Andy for the new logo, which you guys have seen. And if you guys follow us on Facebook, and if you're friends with us on there, you also see there are variations of the logo as
well. We have a new banner at the top of the screen also, the collage of pictures. That's actually pretty cool too. Andy's also working on a custom banner for us, drawn by Andy Hopp himself.
And so we will, as soon as we get that, we will have that up on all the different pages. So other than that,
okay, Miss Dawn, do you have anything else for us today?
I have nothing else. Just make sure to communicate with us however you would like to. Facebook, Twitter, make comments, send us those brownie recipes, send us the email at kylanandken@gmail.com if you want a sticker or anything else, or if you want our mailing address to send us some fan art, whatever you like. Thanks.
Okay, Miss Vicky, do you have anything else you want to bring up? Nope. Okay, and I'm Ken. We've covered everything for me. So, for Kylan, for Miss Dawn, for Miss Vicky, for me, thanks for joining us, and remember,
no matter where you go, there you are.
His eardrums were scientifically altered for world peace. His ears are more finely tuned than yours or mine. He can listen to a podcast from a mile away. He is the most dedicated podcast fan in the world. I do not always listen to podcasts, but when I do, I prefer the Tangent Bound Network. Keep listening, my friends.